Hello and welcome to Pro U Podcast episode number 436. Thankful in all circumstances. I break that down. Yes, it is from the Bible. Not a total Bible guy. But there's just some things that I've, you know, remembered and that have been staples and, you know, being thankful and you know, walking the earth with gratitude is, you know, completely how I got here, how I healed, why I started the podcast, what my message is on the podcast, and for sure what I've been, you know, selling. Come to my well by the water I sell. The last 2 years, you know, 55 to 57, I have less of everything I've ever had, and I'm the best I've ever been. Boom. How is that possible? Thankful. And that's the thing. It's like, well, how do you be thankful in all circumstances? Well, that's the point. It's not being thankful for all circumstances. And that's the key. And that's what kind of like really, you know, I did that little head tilt when I heard that. It's like, no, you can always be thankful. There's something to be thankful for every day. But when there's bad news, can you remain thankful? And it's like, well, some people are like, well, that, no, I got to worry. I got to be stressed. You got to have panic. Or if you don't, you don't care. And I'm like, yeah, that's just the wrong path. And I knew a very long time ago I wasn't built to take the, oh, I'm going to feel more, you know, pain and agony and fear and doubt with every external event that happens. No, I would not be here today. I could not pile on more and more. I had enough on my back when my sister passed. And how my parents were going to deal with that was not how I was built to deal with it. There was no way I could take on more anguish and pain and suffering. And so I picked, I get to. Tammy doesn't. I get to feel bad, have bad days, be unproductive, feel fear, whatever it was, I get to. Tammy doesn't. And that was the stand I took. And to this day, that's helped me. You know, helped me get through a lot of bad days. And Tammy's always helped me get through a lot of bad days. You know, I talked about her for forever. And she still affects me. But that's what I'm talking about. And you know, it was this podcast where I didn't think I had a lot to say. And I only had a few sticky notes. But when I started going, it was just this and that and this and that. And I think about it, that's all I've done. I mean, it's how I healed, how I got here, why I started a podcast, why I'm still doing what I'm doing. And I'm like, you know, and now I'm excited to do a podcast because I got all these, I think, you know, pretty dope stories that have value to share, you know, with people and insights. And it's like, how do I know? It's like, well, because I'm experiencing it. And that's what I'm sharing. And I'm like, again, I got this platform, this venue, I got a podcast. I had no idea what I had. And now I'm like, yeah, I mean, 7 years into it, episode 436, I'm pumped. I'm stoked. I feel good. I love me some Tom, and I think you should too. So thank you, thank you, thank you for listening and for being you. And if you want to, you know, chat, Zoom, Skype, FaceTime, send me an email, a bunch of ways to contact me. Would love to hear from you, answer questions or listen or whatever it is. But thank you for listening and enjoy. Hello, I am thankful to be here. First thing I was going to say, there's just been a lot of external noise as cue the motorcycle all morning. So we'll see how this goes. But the title, Thankful in All Circumstances, has been with me a very, very long time. It is actually out of the Bible. Is 1 Thessalonians 5:16. But what I've always used it, how I've phrased it, how I've, you know, to me it's been a tool. And I'm, you know, again, when I think back to, you know, we're over 9 years ago, I moved in. And the first year and a half, every Sunday, I was on the couch. And it was because I didn't have to go anywhere. And it took me that year and a half to heal. And in the next 3-4 months, I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to do a podcast because I know how I healed. I was thankful and I was mindful. There's my message. And I'm like, well, yeah. And then I'm, of course, going to continue to be thankful and mindful. And along there, I heard someone share that verse, being thankful in all circumstances, but pointing out the key word was in. Thankful in all circumstances, not for all circumstances. So, you know, case in point, Ukraine. You know what I mean? It's like, it's bad. There's nothing good. But if someone like me, more so the older version of me, would focus on the bad and dwell on it and watch it and consume it, it's just going to make me feel bad. And it's like, well, how do you be thankful? You know, how are you supposed to be thankful when look what's happening in Ukraine? And that's the key. We're not supposed to be thankful for what's happening in Ukraine. It's not, okay, find some way to be thankful for what's happening in Ukraine. No, not at all. It's for you personally to be thankful for what you have in lieu of what's going on externally. In lieu of what's going on around the world, can you find something to be thankful for? And that just started catching on with me, you know, because I thought every day I'm like, well, I mean, there's two or three things I keep being thankful for. And, you know, we're talking probably 6 years ago. I said, I'm going to have a little thank you list. It's going to be, you know, my faith, my health, Zen's health. And I said it 10 times a day. Fast forward, next year rolled around. All right, I'm sitting to 20. Next year rolls around. I'm like, wow, I just feel like I'm just going to add this. So I'm like, okay, I'll do 30. And then that year, I added a number 4, which is right now. This past year, I think it was this past year, I went to 50. So 50 times a day, I say, I am thankful for my faith, my health, Zen's health, and right now. And as I say that, I'm like, I'm not as consistent as I used to be. I mean, it was like, I was like really diligent about it. And this was during the past probably couple months, I noticed, I'm like, you know, I'm not doing that like every day. And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, it was your whole point about Thanksgiving. You don't have to sit around a table with certain people and eat certain food to be thankful. You're thankful every day. And I'm like, okay, you're not going, I don't want to do that list. You just, whatever, you forget to do it. It doesn't happen, whatever. Are you not thankful during that day? I'm automatically, by default, thankful every day, all day. I mean, that's how I get through every moment of the day. And I'm like, okay, so now, again, not being so, you know, being Catholic at one time, you know, the rules and the, you know, being so harsh and so strict, and if you know, you don't, you know, if you're not perfect, it's bad. That, you know, I gotta make sure I'm navigating that line, you know, very carefully, very, you know, pro you-ish for myself. But the reason, again, I was just, there's certain phrases I end up saying, and I'm like, hey, you know, just remember, we're supposed to be thankful in all circumstances. And when I say that, I just hear myself, you know, these past how many years, just looking for things to be thankful for and flaming those fires and watching those grow and me having less stuff but becoming more grateful and feeling better. And it consumed me. Like, I just started going down that wonderful wormhole of, you know, gratitude is a superpower. And, you know, I kind of have this somewhat in order, but I'm going to just jump ahead. I watched the news last night. So it is the 12th? No, it's the 13th. It's Wednesday the 13th, so Tuesday the 12th, I was watching the news. And this is what, I mean, I was totally fine, but I was just aware. I was like, I should make a list, and I ended up doing it. First topic we're going to go over on the news tonight is the shooting in Brooklyn. Then we're going to go into, you know, the horrible things that are happening in Ukraine. And now there's a little suspicion that there might have been chemical weapons used, which is like everybody's worst fear. Then we're going to talk about the incredible high rate of inflation right now, which includes the incredible high rate of gas right now and food, blah, blah, blah. Then we're going to talk about the severe weather hitting the Midwest, going up through the north, and the destructive tornadoes. Then we're going to cover the Omicron subvariant that's sweeping the nation. We're also going to talk about the shutdown in Shanghai, all the food shortages, and the drones flying around telling people what they can and can't do. Now, I sat back and and thought, how can anybody watch that and not just feel horrible after? I mean, I was just really aware, and, you know, I've been working on me the whole time and not making sure I get sucked into certain things. And when the news, you know, I've taken 2-3 months break from the news, so I'm okay. But it's kind of helped me be a little less, you know, tethered to what they're talking about. And last night was one of those examples. I was just kind of sitting back observing, going, you know, if this was an older version of me watching, it would be really tough. And again, it was, you know, back to when my sister passed away over 10 years ago now. You know, of course that, you know, kills the parents. You know, it's like the worst thing in the world for parents is to lose your child. And I could just tell that their mindset was, well, we can never be happy again. You know, like, how can you be happy? Like, how can you have a good day when your daughter died? And it was that kind of a thing, and I understood it. I just knew it's like I have struggled personally all the way up to this point in my life to add one more thing that was going to be weight that I was going to carry. I was like, I can't do that. You know, it was almost like, look, I'm not built strong enough to do that. So I went to the line I get to. I get to have a bad day. I get to feel scared. I get to experience stress. I get to fall down. I get to make mistakes. I get to be embarrassed. I get to be, you know, worried. I get to be, you know, feel doubt. I get to feel fear. Because Tammy doesn't anymore. So to me, I was trying to find some sort of perspective where, I wasn't like, oh, you know, make it feel this way, make it feel this way. I was like, no, where I would go, oh, when I think of Tammy, that's what I think of. Like, okay, she's gone, I'm here. Why? You know, she had a ton going for her. I mean, she wasn't in a great place mentally, emotionally, spiritually, but again, you know, just on paper. You know, if you looked at her and me at that time, you know, she had a big job, nurse, running a hospital, home, on the lake, 2 kids, marriage. You know, she was running like 12, 13 miles a day. You know, she was published. I mean, you know, boom, you look at, wow. And I was divorced twice, not really pursuing a career. Lost, you know, going to AA, and, you know, I always, like, not trying to, like, cause I don't care, I really don't, but it wasn't because I was an alcoholic. I was just as bad as one. I was in a bad place, and my therapist said, look, it's the best free therapy in the world. Now, it's a gnarly place to go to. And the fact that I went, I just look back at being proud because it was completely uncomfortable. But I've talked to like one or two people since then, and they're like, I'm not going. Like, they're the fear, like being labeled and, you know, someone knowing you went. And I was like, yeah, what if you went to get help and then you felt better? And I never had a problem with that. Like, I go, I'm hurting. I'm messed up. I get that. I'm just trying to find help. And I didn't mind asking help. I didn't mind telling people that I was trying to get help. I was trying to work on things. I didn't care who I went to. I didn't care. You know what I mean? I just was like, look, I want to get better. If someone can help me get better, that's fantastic. But again, it gets me back to that whole thing of gratitude. I was just looking to feel better. And I did. Ta-da! Like, you know, if you look back at my whole life, it's like, in 5 years you want, I'm like, I have no idea. I don't like me today. I don't feel good today. I'm not secure in who I am today. How do I know what I'm going to do? I was used to go like, how do I even have any, like, it baffled me. How do I have any idea what I want to do in 5 years? I don't know what's happening this afternoon. Like, I'm that unsure. So you fast forward that, and like I said, it's like, oh, I don't feel that really, really, really familiar feeling that I've always had. I don't experience these things, these feelings that I always did forever. And it's like that Beautiful Mind movie I used to quote all the time. You know, true story, end of the movie. Lead character has these delusions, but you know, he gets through, and at the end he wins a Pulitzer Prize. He's still married. The marriage works out. He's a teacher. Like, he's successful. And it's like, oh, well, just by the way, where are the delusions? Right there. No pause. No, you know, he just walked out of the ceremony, and there they were on the steps. And it was like, I was just like, I loved that. Because it wasn't like, I'm going to get to this place where I don't have bad days, demons, fears, doubts, worries, bad things that happen. It's like, well, that's going to be kind of a rough trip because you're never going to get there. It's how you respond, how you deal. And, you know, Russell Crowe, the actor that played it, you know, it's like he had to, like, look, I got to deal. And he hated the medication because it, you know, he hated how it felt. But if he wasn't on the medication, you know, he was just kind of inundated with these delusions. And it was like there were three people. One was a little girl, and the first revelation he had was like, someone was talking to him going, has that little girl ever gotten older? And he's like, oh my god. He's like, well, there you go, they're not real. Because one was like a FBI guy was trying to get him to do stuff undercover and work, and you know, had him all tripping out that way. And another guy was like this friend that he befriended in college, and those were the three delusional people that he had in his life. And like I said, my point being that at the end of the movie, his successes were all there, and he did it. Delusions right there. So I know how good I feel because I am highly aware of that bad, of that kryptonite, how people made me feel, how I reacted to people, whatever it was. Like, I'm highly aware of it still. I'm just not experiencing it and not feeling it. So it's like that same thing. Russell Crowe walks out, looks at him, doesn't even acknowledge him, and keeps moving forward. So that's the same thing. I mean, if I'm going to sit and dwell and bum, make bad choices, talk to the wrong people, get sucked into the mud, I know exactly how I'm going to feel because I felt that way forever. So, you know, I don't have a ton of clients. I don't talk to a bunch of people. But when I talk to people, I am consistently thankful. And I think, pretty sure that I named the episode that. And that is my answer. Hey, how are you, Tom? Well, consistently thankful. And I mean it from the bottom of my heart. Not being weird, not sounding weird, not triumphant, not bragging, not arrogant, you know, anything. I'm like, no, I'm just, you know, I started a podcast 7 years ago, and it was based on the fact of being thankful. And I'm like, you fast forward, and I'm like, I'm the most thankful person. And again, not patting myself on the back, but I think I'm the most thankful person I know. And I hope that rubs off and people see that and they you know, drink the Kool-Aid, you know. And it's just so funny. I didn't even make a note of this, but I was going to, as I spoke to my producer last night, Nico, the Canadian assassin. And we were going back and forth about, you know, scheduling this and that. Now since, oh, it's you know, yesterday. And I'm like, oh, I'm, you know, talking to Nico today. And so he was in my head, and it was just this thought of going, yeah, he's the closest thing to anyone else that I've ever spoken to. And that might sound really weird, but he's just, and I think he does this better than me. But I told him, I said, I just look at you and I feel your joy. Like, it's not just gratitude. He seems to carry a higher level of joy. And it's like, you know, a couple things happened. One thing came up. It went away. He didn't really care. Then this really good thing happened. And I'm like, well, you know, how one deals with the test directly determines the outcome of that test. I go, you know, that's starting to happen in your life when you're starting to see it as more of an equation than someone's opinion. And I said, you know, I thought about you today, and it was just this feeling of like, he has been. I mean, if I just talked to him today for the first time ever, I'd be like, wow, there's Pro U. Like, that guy, like, look what he's been through. Look what he talks about. Look how he, you know, phrases things. Look at his perspective. He just has clarity. And it was the greatest thing. But I always tell people, you know, there's you and your career, you and your significant other, you and your job, your children, your health, your finances, whatever. It's you and all these other things. But you are that common variable. Well, if that common variable goes from a 6 to a 7 to an 8, simultaneously, you improve the quality of all those other equations. And I said, you know, it's really tough to tell people, especially people that are close to you, what to do. You know, you care about people, so you're concerned, and you're like, look, you got to stop doing that and do this. And it rarely works. And the best way you can have an effect on anyone, you know, parents, children, or vice versa, whatever it is, you know, your friend, your significant other, which is really tough to tell what to do. The best way you can have an effect on that person is by being the example that you want to set. And, you know, Nico right now is having a big effect on certain people in his life, and he says, I can tell that. And it was just a really humble, you know, statement. It was the fact going, you know what, I can tell that, you know, so-and-so is, you know, I'm having an effect on them. And I was like, yeah, I couldn't be more proud. But again, there it is. You know, another dude going, hey, I'm just going to be, you know, thankful. I'm going to walk around with gratitude. Okay, when's he going to go backwards? When's he going to step down from that? And again, the longer you stay there, the better it gets. So again, I kind of feel like I got that clarity, gained that at 55 that year, 2020. And I, of course, I wasn't going to go backwards or regress, so I've obviously kept doing, and anything you keep doing consistently, you're going to get better at. So I just feel like even better, I'm even stronger, you know. Like I was telling Nico, I was like, you know, I just feel like I know who I am. There's clarity. I don't have a lot of questions about what I'm going to do or not do, or, you know, I'm like, I just know, you know what I mean? I'm content with all my choices. I'm comfortable. I mean, I'm everything I wasn't for 48, 50 years. And that's huge. But just a wonderful shout out to Nico. I mean, to be, you know, I mean, I've had, this is my third producer, you know, didn't really have a say over the, you know, first two, didn't really understand the whole, what they were doing. And it didn't really affect me a whole lot until the second one got, you know, got kind of funky. And I was just, hey, just reach out. And this one cat that I happened to actually meet in L.A. one day, he was in on a convention, lives in Canada. And then you fast forward, and he's this wonderful Pro U, literally producer of Pro U. And he's just filled with joy. And of course, that makes me feel, I mean, our relationship is dope and I get to experience his journey. And then that joy and that spirit and that energy is added to, you know, just the part that he does, you know. So it's like this little bit that someone adds, but it's this wonderful, beautiful part. And, you know, our friendship grows. And like I said, I just like, oh, I'm talking to Nico. And then, like, for the rest of the day, I thought about him before we chatted. And I'm like, that's it. I just like, that dude just filled with joy. And that's one of the things I told him. So, love you, Nico. Thank you for being you, dude. For real. And this is like the next thing I wrote. I was I was driving, which is super cool. I went to Santa Paula, to the Santa Paula Trading Company, to drop off some items. I wasn't even focused on making stuff. I wasn't really like, oh, I wasn't in that mood. I was just like, didn't do anything November, December. And, you know, but I know I was putzing a little bit because my bench had, you know, some items on it. And I was like, well, let me finish that. And let me do this. And then all of a sudden it was April. And I'm like, I got like 7 or 8 items that I've now made. And I'm like, I would consider the past 3 months of me not doing anything. And yet here I've made these things. Because I just, you know, kind of putz at them a little bit here. Oh, I'll do this to this one. Oh, okay, I'll set that aside, whatever. And, but I'm like, okay, I'm going. So I reached out. We picked a date. Tracy is the woman that owns the trading company. So I put it in my calendar and I look, and it was in last year as that was my first time. And I'm like, I just randomly chose the 1 year anniversary of going back. And I had a present to Tracy just because I figured it was like a new year. And I'm like, hey, I just want to say thank you because it's super dope. It's like the most wonderful thing in the world, me knowing that I have my, you know, art in a store and it sells. Like, I don't care about the money. I'm not making a whole lot, but I'm like, because I do end up making stuff and I got to, you know, hanging around. I'm like, now I just make stuff going, oh, I'll sell it. So I brought like 3 or 4 things. I'm like, you know, price to sell, just sell these. I'm just so thankful I get to come here. But Tracy like went nuts. I had made this little like chair. I turned it into a planter. And I first thing I brought in, she's like, oh my God, like she just went off on it. But she was thinking it was an item to sell. And I said, well, you know, I'm here. Guess what day it is? It's 1 year anniversary. So here's your thank you present. She's like, oh, she's like, look around. I love plants. And I just hadn't noticed because I don't go there to look for plants. But she had about 5 or 6 other plants in the store. It's not that big of a store. So it was super cool. And she was fired up. I'm like, that's my experience. And then she tells the other girl that helps her out, says, your favorite dog's here. And, you know, so she comes running around, you know, all excited to see Zen. And, you know, I told her, I said, there's like 4 things that you hang up, and that's the big thing. She doesn't have a lot of space. I said, you know, I want you to come out. Because I typically just bring everything in going here. And I said, but come out and just tell me which of these you'd like to hang up. Or if you don't, I said, I brought them completely like thinking that, because that's why I left them in the car. And she kept taking like 7 of 8. And I didn't, you know, care. I was like stoked. I was like pumped. And I'm just driving back and I'm just feeling good. And I always take Zen out for a walk around there or whatever. So we're coming back and I just had this moment where, and I told this story like 5 times already. It's really, really in my head. But I was like, it's just easy being me. Like I just had this moment of going, do you remember how hard it was being you for like 48, 50 years? How bad you felt and insecure and scared and worried and frightened and just making bad choices. And why are these people making me feel this way? And I'm just like having this wonderful experience moment with my dog, with my art at a dope store with a dope lady. And now I'm driving back and I'm like... I've said it exactly like this, so I'm just going to keep it going. But it was like I went, say, Tom, just a question. How hard is it to drive? Because I'm in my head going, I've had tickets, accidents, fender benders, road rage. I've gotten out of my car. I don't think it's ever gotten to, you know, a fight. I don't think that's ever happened. But I've, you know, definitely gotten out of my car before and been, you know, frustrated. And I noticed over the last 6 months to a year, I just started driving a little slower. Like I was kind of like 76. So just a little bit, I don't know. It was just that was the number. And then I dropped it down to 74. And then it was like all of a sudden it went right down to 72 and then 70. But like the last two times I drove somewhere, I was driving between 64 and 68. And most of the time 64. And I was in this, you know, slower lane. And I was like singing, like I just didn't care. Like I wasn't like, oh my God, I'm going. It was just like, I was like, well, okay. But I started noticing how content I was. And it just seemed like, well, there wasn't any traffic and I was content. And I got to the, you know, hour or something in the car when you're frustrated and dealing with traffic can be a little bit draining. But if you're singing and you're chilled, and you haven't been on the beach in a while and you're kind of excited and you don't really care if you get there 5 minutes later or whatever, probably even the same time, actually. And it just was this overwhelming thing of like, how easy is it to drive? Like, but I love those moments. I love going, here's the old you. Like when you got your license till, you know, up until I would say 2 years ago, you know, it was just, this was just stuff going on with me driving. And it was always financially. And oh, my insurance, that was, it got over $1,100 for every 6 months for a while. And I don't know how long, but I was just dumbfounded. Because I was like, I can't. And I mean, I don't know, you know, when this, it was a while ago, like I was maybe 5-6 years ago, something like that. So it's like I wasn't making, you know, money. I think it was a time when I started making less and less. And I was, you know, like, I was like, this is just, would, like, I can't even save $1,100 in 6 months. I was just like, I didn't know what I was going to do. And I don't know when it was. Oh, I think it was actually the, like when the pandemic hit, they, I don't know if they gave a discount, but then the miles went down. And then I finally called up and I was like, look, I'm just like, I just knew I was like driving mellower and I, you know, I hadn't got a ticket. You know, I just knew I was a little bit different. I go, you know, what's the, you know, minimum I need for insurance when you own your vehicle? And like, they go this much. And I know it was like, you know, 600 or 500 bucks, or whatever like that. I'm like, cool. But over the last 2 years, it's just kept dropping with like, you know, just driving less. And the last bill, I got was 367. So it went from over 1100 to 367. And again, like I tell people, I go, you know, I haven't gotten any more clients in 2, 3, 4 years. But now it's like I pay my bills and end of the month, I'm like, I got extra money. I'm like, well, where is that coming from? I know I'm doing less. I guess I'm spending less, but it's not like this big conscious effort. But it's just this, like, but again, this experience. I don't stress about money. I pay my bills. And I really go end of the month. I'm like, cool, rent, done. Like if I, like, again, I don't have debt. So it's like the big thing. And when I do that, I'm like, cool. Not like I'm tripping or stressed. Just, that's the thing. Just once a month, I check a box going, cool, paid rent, you're good. But the peace and contentment is what I want to sell, like, the most. You know, dangling a carrot. I don't like the word happy. It's like, what's happy? How long do you sustain happy? You know, you can be happy for a moment, but it's not, oh, I'm smiling and giggling all the time. I'm always happy. I'm like, yeah, I don't think that's a realistic thing, but to be peaceful, to be content, like, I love that. And that's what I strive to be. So when I experience that driving, and again, the biggest dragon I had in the world was the dentist, and that was Slade. Whatever, 2 months ago, 3 months ago. And then I just was like, hey, you're kind of stressed driving. You know, in L.A., you just drive, you know, more offensively, you know, just to kind of avoid bad drivers or whatever. But it's like if you're driving in that fast lane, you got to keep that speed up. And, you know, you're kind of held a responsible thing or you're going to get honked at. You know what I mean? It's like you got to be doing the right stuff. But if you're in there, then you're just moving along more efficiently. But again, to me, that was like, well, isn't that just kind of weight that you're carrying to the beach for that hour or whatever and drive? And I just started slowing down and moving to the right and slowing down and moving to the right. And I've driven in the slowest lane before. Sometimes that's always the fastest lane anyways. So it never matters to me what lane I'm in. But it was just that, oh, 70, 68, 64. And I was just like, it was just like I was comfortable the whole way. And I was like, I did that. I woke up in the morning and there was a red button. And I've said this a ton of times, like, you know, would you like to be better at being you and life easier as is? Push the red button. And I'm like, yes. Now pushing the red button, interpret that. I know what I did to push the buttons. I know how I got here. And that was the thing. Next thing I wrote, I go, God, it is incredibly easy to be me. Like, it is stupid easy to drive a car and not have any problems. And I went, but being thankful is not easy. It is work. And it is diligent work. It has to be. I mean, because again, if you can spin it 180 or you only got to spin it 90 or you just want to spin it 10, why do you want it to take a long time? Because it's going to take a long time. Unless you focus on it. Give it all you have. Because that's all I was doing. I mean, when I moved here, and then I healed, and then the podcast, you start going, oh, what's the podcast about? Well, that's me sharing healing. That's going to continue to let me heal. And it's like, oh, Zen. And I continued to heal, and I continued to grow, and I continued to, you know, pursue a better me. And then all that, you know, spiritual journey. What's that? Not sure. 53, 54, 55, best year of my life. Oh, my God, I'm going to keep doing it. Here I am, 57. And I'm like, I'm not selling that that was easy at all. But I was worth it. No, I wasn't waking up in the morning going, Tom, you're amazing. You're fabulous. Do these things today. But somehow, some way, not being conscious of I am worth it, I did those things. But when I did start the podcast, that was the slogan. You are worth it. You got to be worth the effort. Why? Because it's not hard. I mean, it's not easy. Not comfortable. Not usually familiar. Not everybody really kind of claps for you. Some people will, you know, might even just stop supporting you. They won't understand you. You know, they might think you're selfish. They're, you know, a bunch of stuff. You know, again, it's got to be you, about you, because you love you some you. See the number of times I said you and I didn't mention anyone else's name? That's what it's got to be about. Now, here's the point. If you love some people, like really, really love some people, what version of yourself do they deserve? 6 out of 10 or 8 out of 10? The 8 out of 10, that doesn't happen. It's typically that 6. Going, I love this person and I need this person and this. And I'm like, because I've been in there. I look back at being a 6 and married. Probably a 6 both times I was married. If I'm going to look back at it right now from this vantage point, this version of I am now. Because, you know, it didn't matter what was really going on externally. It was kind of the same noise inside. That didn't change. You know, first marriage ended, you know, was it 6 days before a year? And my ex at the time's only sister committed suicide. So, you know, to be like, oh, can't wait to do it again. Okay, the second one's going to be way better. I mean, it was like you couldn't even compare the two. They were two totally different experiences, but they both ended badly. You know, and I look back going, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to go back and go, this is I would have done that or done that. I mean, I'm here, this version of me, because of those versions of me. And actually, I haven't written this down yet. Posted, but a little sticky on the side. Acceptance of who you are is the beginning of changing who you are. Scott Mosier. I said, who said that? He's like, oh, I just thought he, like, cause he's listening to podcasts and he's reading. I just thought he pulled it from somewhere. And I'm like, oh, I love that. So, you know, if I look back going, I needed help. I don't like how I feel. I'm pursuing help. I mean, that was accepting me. And they're the first part of changing me. And that's, you know, they always say you want to change someone else. Look how hard it is to change you. So I can't say, wow, it was easy changing me. Only took, you know, a month and a half. No. I mean, I didn't really even start looking at myself till 48. I mean, you go to AA, you know, you're looking at yourself. I mean, I'd gone to therapy before, but, you know, to me, if I kept doing everything, you know, in the marriage, trying to be the stepdad, trying to be the TV guy, trying to do the fitness thing, trying to make money, trying to get out of debt, trying to pay off bills, trying. I think, oh, yeah, I'm going to therapy. It's like, yeah, you just should be going just like you're going to the gym, like just regularly because of that. But like I said, wasted effort. And I wasn't at 20, 30, or 40 going to stop everything and slow down. Just not even in my psyche. Nor is it in anyone's real psyche, I don't think. Unless, you know, you hit bottom, something bad happens, something drastically changes your life, your perspective, whatever, you know, it's typically something really bad. And then you question stuff, and then you start looking at stuff and re-examining. That's what, you know, the Buddhists talk about, you know, the death and rebirth. Like, that version of you is dead. You know, someone you know passed away, it affected you, so that version of you is now dead. Now you'll have a rebirth. A newer you will emerge. And you think of how many times that's happened. That's where the Buddhists are going, yeah, that's part of life. Birth and death and rebirth. Death and rebirth is just part of it. To me, it like totally makes sense. All the things I just like don't do anymore. How I feel so different. Like version of me. Yeah, I totally talk about versions of me. I've not ever been this version of me. I mean, that's like, you know, I'm, you know, 6 foot tall. That's not an opinion. That's how tall I am. It's, you know, it doesn't waver. And I'm like, yeah, this is, you know, where I am. And I know that. But not easy to get here. Thus deem yourself worthy. Come to my wealth by the water I sell. It's for free. So this moment I called the moment of awareness, hashtag I loved it. Couldn't sleep, still, you know, yeah, just the thing. I don't even care. I get up for an hour, I foam roller twice. I don't really get up, you know, panicky or, you know, oh, I can't sleep, I got to go out for a walk. Like, I've kind of figured out, like, how I need to stretch certain areas and what to kind of keep focusing on, you know, as I, you know, move throughout the day and the week. Like, what do I need to stay focused on? These are the stretches. So I'm pretty good at eliminating the neck and, you know, the pain and discomfort that was in my neck that would really cause me to kind of not be able to lay down and sleep. So it's all just kind of better. And one day I was thinking, I go, you know, as Zen, you know, just slowly gets a little older, you know, sleeps a little bit more. And I was just thinking, like, he's not going to get up in the middle of the night anymore. If I got to go, he's going to look at me and go, yeah, go ahead. And I just had that thought. So here I am up at night. And this was maybe like, you know, a week ago. So, you know, Ukraine was still going on. And I'm up and getting something to drink, whatever it was. And then that thought came in about, I had to watch the news that night. And that's so funny because this is how I started this episode, talking about the same kind of thing. And just it popped into my head, just the Ukraine, because they started finding people that were tied up and maybe tortured. And it was just like, you know, on my heart. And, you know, there's just, again, didn't think it, but here's the monkey mind. Like, hey, I'm going to play with this little fun toy. And then the news went right into climate change. And it was like, you know, if we don't drastically do this, it's going to be catastrophic. And, da, 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 da. And they talked about, like, how it's the driest summer so far ever in California at this point, which totally means, like, bad. And to be like, okay, like, we just have, they don't say it's a fire season. It's just year-round now. It's just what we have. But to start it that dry when we've had, like, 2 or 3 years of the worst ever. So if you're having fires, I don't probably live close to anywhere that's going to start on fire. You know, thank you, Jesus. But it's still, you know, watching it, experiencing it, then there's bad air. And it's just, you know, it's just gnarly. And again, it's not a good thing at all. And I noticed. I was just like, wow. I just like, you know, that just, I, all of a sudden I just felt like, I was like, wow, heart heavy. And I come walking back, and you know, I kind of turn around, you know, the corner to see Zen, you know, on the floor, and his head's up. And I'm like, hey, you're up. So I kind of just went to the floor and hugged him really quick. Like, I don't like what I'm feeling, and I'll hug you. But he just kind of, and I go, are you up? And he just like, yeah. And I'm like, hey, let's go for it. And I just kind of started laughing because I was like, I just thought this the other day, going, he's not going to do that anymore. He's going to sleep through. And it was like, I just had this like, you know, heavy heart. And I'm like, I just like, I'll go for a walk right now. I mean, that was like my thought. I was like, I would just go for a walk right now. I go, but Zen's sleeping. He's probably not. I'm like, I just had that thought. He's probably not going to do it anymore. And I turn the corner and he's up. So I'm like, oh, good. I can snuggle with you and you can pay some attention to me and I'll just focus on you. But it went right to the walk. So we get outside and we always kind of walk a certain way. And it's always, you know, if it's around this block, we walk just, you know, clockwise. And, you know, right, wrong, whatever. It's always kind of been that way. So we kind of start out going clockwise. And then we kind of get to this one turn, and he's like, he kind of looks at me, and I go, we're going this way? And he gets this little skip and this little jump, like, yep, we are, like, just this little bit about, yep, I'm trying something, like, because he knew it was, and I go, where are we? Because it's totally a new way. And I LOL'd, and I don't LOL very often. And then I realized, like, I just laughed out loud, and it's, I don't know, 3 o'clock in the morning, and my dog just made me laugh. I was like, how cool is that? Like, I've had my dog a long time. I know him really well. I mean, you know, I've seen all his antics, and it was like just this breath of fresh air just illuminating in the night, filling my heart, making me, again, I'll chuckle, I'll smile. But the whole I'll laugh out loud, I just don't. I'm just not that guy. Like, I don't get scared a lot. And I just laughed out loud, and then it hit me again. It was like 5 minutes at the most ago. I was in my kitchen thinking about Ukraine and the climate. And now I was outside in the middle of the night. Yeah, not sleeping, you know, couldn't sleep, up, you know, thinking about da-da-da. Whole world changed. Why? Focused on Zen. And I didn't go out there, okay, focus on Zen. Okay, don't think about Ukraine. I was just, you know, doing me, being me. And all that stuff is kind of happening, I would say by default. But what was dope was the awareness. I was like, look how you feel right now. And there it was. Thankful in all circumstances. I've said it. And again, look at the news. I mean, 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 topics from bad to bad to bad to bad to bad to bad. Are any of those probably getting better? And if one goes away, there's probably going to be another one. Like, everyone's like, oh, you know, okay, this, you know, pandemic's done. And it's like, okay, the big one, you know, another big one's building. You know, I mean, the shutdown in Shanghai and reinstating the mask mandates. And it's just like, no. And it, again, not gloom and doom. Don't bum out. Why should you get out of bed? It's like, no, get out of bed and enjoy what you have with whom you have it. Drum roll. While you have it. And I told this to Moj. I didn't even write this down, but I saw this guy. And I won't mention his name. Good guy, you know, popular, huge, and he's just kind of went from one business to the next, and, you know, grown. And seems like he's, you know, he's still married, and he got these two little kids, and they seem cool. There's a video of him and how they're interacting, and it's like, you know, he's always been a super, like, really nice, good guy, you know, kind of a guy. But it's like this, you know, now he's got a business that he helps other people build their businesses kind of thing. And anyways, this one video I pulled up said, you know, get up an hour earlier. He goes, I started getting up an hour earlier at 4 a.m. He goes, I think people used to be crazy. They got up at 4 a.m. And he goes, you know, that equals, you know, that extra hour a day that's 7 hours a week works out into like 40, it was either 43 or 48 extra days. And what he went into right next was the part where I was like my head tilted. He goes, you can work and make money 48 extra days a year. And I was like, okay. Like everything I've done is, again, all that. I'm not pursuing career, money, fame, likes, you know, big social media following. And again, that's all this dude's doing. But he's, you know, again, doing it well, married, got kids. He seems healthy. So it's like, well, you know, I'm like, well, question number one is like, well, why do you need to keep doing it? Like, okay, you enjoy it. But I mean, at that, like, you don't ever need money. So it's like, okay, fine. Well, it's like, okay, well, do you need to get up at 4 a.m. to work more, to make more money if you don't need money? You know, so it's like, well, like, there's, well, is that not kind of an addiction? Or, you know, like the uneven pie chart, like you're putting all this into that. I'm like, okay, there might be a hole somewhere. You can't see it. But no one saw Will Smith's hole either. And at some point that broke. So just the people that are like, you know, do more, get more, make more money, spend more money, do more, you know, travel, go, grow, but you know, go. It's like, really? And then it goes to me, the Mexican fisherman. You want me to get more boats, hire people, grow, move, relocate, do this whole big business thing so that one day I can retire and do exactly what I'm doing today. And I shared that guy with, you know, Mosher, and I'm like, it's just, you know, I mean, I you know, on the outside, you're like, well, okay, if Tom got a new car, Tom bought a new house, Tom got married, Tom all of a sudden had a, you know, this huge thing happen on social media and he got a bunch of followers, bunch of people like, wow, Tom did it, Tom made it, Tom's kicking ass, Tom's doing it. Nobody's saying that. Pro U is quiet. Except for like my clients, the people I talk to, the people that are in my life, Nico. I told that to Nico. No one's going, oh my God, Nico's killing it. But Nico's killing it. And that's part of the thing about the personal growth. Personal. It's quiet. So I'm like, okay, you got a bunch of cars, you got a big house, you got a bunch of money, you got a big businesses, you got a big social media following. Sounds kind of loud, doesn't it? So why? You know, again, Will Smith had videos, motivational commencement speeches. This is how you win. I'm like, really? How you doing now? What happened to all that advice about winning? Again, people can sell stuff. You know, social media. Here's my highlight reel. You know, the people that get on there going, I made $1 million. You just come with me and I'll help you make $1 million. You know, I'm always thinking, like, well, that just, it's just kind of funny to me that, like, people actually will just do that and then they do it. And then because I just need to make a bunch of money. And yes, you need money. And probably a little bit more money gives people peace of mind. And I do understand that. But again, I, you know for a fact, 7-8 years ago, I was making way more money. I mean, a ton of money, more than I was. And I was a mess. So it wasn't curing me. I mean, if I got that money now, I would just say, well, it's not going to change me. You know, it's like, I'm not going to get all excited about it because I know it can be gone tomorrow. But I'm not going to kill myself to get it. You know, then I would have that. I'm killing myself to get this money and then I die. I'm like, yeah, that's not the journey I'm choosing. There's this dude, I'm just thinking of shit that I say today. There's this guy, I was also just on YouTube and I was going through this, you know, MMA, and then it would go to jiu-jitsu, and then it went into this flow wrestling, which is, I don't even really understand it exactly, but it's just that kind of high level where dudes look like they're wrestling, but they're doing jiu-jitsu, and the scoring's all different, and I was just way into it. And all of a sudden, this dude pops up, this Nick Santori. And a little dude, just this little small guy, this guy almost looked a little quirky. And he started talking, and or I was just hearing about him, and it just I wasn't like really, you know, figuring out who the guy was. But all of a sudden, I saw this title, I was like the mysterious, you know, Nick. And I was like, yeah, I was like what's the deal? And it's like he starts wrestling in college. Oh, he went, I think he won 3 or 4. State titles in wrestling. He was 159-0. Like he goes through high school and he never loses. I'm like, okay, that's badass. I've never even heard of that before. So then he goes on to college and he goes to Penn State, which is like the number one wrestling school. He gets hurt, and after he's hurt, he's trying to kind of come back and decides he doesn't want to stay at Penn State. People are like tripping out, like they're like, what? And he's like, then I start hearing him talk. And he goes, it's not just about wins. It's not just about wrestling. It's about my journey. It's about me as a person and how I grow. And I was like, what? Like, I was like, what did he just say? So then he transfers to where he was, lived. And I went to Rutgers by New Jersey. I think he actually was from Jersey. But he's going to Rutgers. So he goes to Rutgers, you know, finds it's like home, digs it, loves it, and he wins his, this is now his junior year, and he wins his first NCAA title. And then, I was like just kind of Googling him, and then it was like, oh, next year wins another NCAA title, but he's at Michigan. So I'm like, this guy, you know, transferred like 3 times from 3 huge schools that he was like really, really into at the time. And then a year later, I'm out. And then people are just tripping out and freaking out. And they're like, who is this guy? What is? And then a couple times I heard him talking. And he was like, what am I searching for? And what I'm seeking? And just like this, like a completely, I would probably say more of a spiritual dude, but doing it better than anybody, which was the killer thing, but just doing it differently. And he's like, I'm not trying to get that, or like, you know, they think, oh, you switched to this one because he's like, no, that's not at all why I did it. Like, no one understands the guy, but he knows himself, and he doesn't make any excuses, and he doesn't really care. And I was like, yeah, I kind of like that. Because, you know, I mean, I'm not putting myself in that category of people like that, but that mentality of I know me. I'm not doing it any different. I don't care who likes it or not. I don't care what anyone thinks about it. That's present. You know, again, I'm not patting myself on the back. It's just kind of thinking. But just watching that dude and how he talked, it just totally, totally stuck out to me, obviously. All right, moving right along. Next sticky note. I'm like so professional. My sticky notes are organized so well. That's funny. So, all right, I did the news. That's gone. I witnessed just some amazing unconditional love. Ridiculous amount of unconditional love. So I have a client. He has a 4-year-old daughter. And she kind of pops in the screen a lot. And I don't know when it was, but I was talking to my client. And I was like, you know, it's how your daughter, like, looks at you. and like she just recently went skiing. I go, I'm like, you know, you're her hero. Like, she just thinks you're the greatest thing in the world. You know, kind of being like, you know, then just be that. Like, accept that you're that, even with your flaws or what you don't think is exactly perfect. I mean, you know, she thinks you're perfect. So then, you know, it's kind of like Zen. And someone looked at me and said, look, Zen just wants to be with you. You know, he was hurt and I couldn't take him to the beach and we couldn't go to the dog park and couldn't go for runs and we couldn't go for long walks and blah, 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 blah. And this woman just said, all Zen wants is to be with you. And in that moment, I look at him and he's looking at me smiling and his tail's wagging. He's not going, hey, this sucks. I'm hurt. Can't go to the beach. Right, man. What? You know, he's not bitching. He's not complaining. He just, you know, dude, isn't it great? I'm here. You're here. We're both alive. And this was the how it hit me was, you know, I had seen that, you know, cause his daughter will pop into the, you know, the, our Zoom session, or FaceTime, you know, on the computer a bunch of times. So I see her a lot, but she's just like this beautiful little thing. And I'm like, I'll get done some sessions. And I was like, you know, if I had that, like that child, and he's got two. And the younger one's a little boy that I'm actually infatuated with. He's got the craziest perspective, and he's two. And I just love him to death. But anyways, I was like, you know, you got these two little blessings, these two little angels, and they just adore you. Not how much you weigh, not what your car looks like, not your income. You just, there's nothing external that they're judging you on at all. They just look at you both like you are their hero. And I'm like, that's unconditional love. But I didn't really think about that unconditional love with that until this past week, where another client who had a 10-year-old daughter, or she just turned 10, and a 4-year-old daughter. But the 4-year-old daughter, I never really saw. I mean, the last 2 years, we've been, you know, online. And, you know, why would I see her? Because he's got a spare house outside that's got a room that's just like a spare room outside. So he comes out, the trains, goes back in. So I don't see any of his family. But before that, when I saw his other daughter, it would just be once in a while. But I remember what you know, she was like. But, you know, now she's 10 and I haven't seen her in like 2 or 3 years. And when the other one was just born, she was a newborn, so it wasn't like bringing her to the, you know, gym. So I didn't really see her that much as a infant at all. So she's like, she's got to come in, you know, my daughter, the one daughter. And she comes walking in, and I, you know, I thought to myself, I've never seen this person ever before in my life. I mean, she's 4 now and completely this grown little girl, and I maybe saw her once as a baby. You know, I was like, oh, she looks exactly like I remember, nothing at all. But so we keep working out. We had like 15 minutes left or something like that. And all of a sudden I notice her kind of sitting there. And she's leaning back on this like couch. And he's on the mat. And she's just looking at him. And I'm like, okay, ready, go. And I start counting. And she doesn't take her eyes off her dad. And she's smiling. I'm like, you know, he's not doing anything impressive. He's not, you know, nothing. It was just like looking at her, look at him. You know, you always see those memes now. Oh, if someone could look at you the way this person looked at that person. But he got done and he sat up and I went, that little girl, I go, loves you. And that's when it hit me. I go, that's that unconditional love. And I didn't mention it, get into a big thing right then in that moment, because, you know, we were, you know, doing the workout. But he goes, did you hear him? Did you hear him? And she goes, yep. But and then it was that later that day when I thought, okay, here's another client with a 4-year-old daughter. And like my other client with a, you know, another 4-year-old daughter. And I thought, oh my goodness. Unconditional. I mean, it was because again, they weren't, you know, you know, nothing great was going on. They were just, you know, I was training one and I was chatting with the other one. But you could see how much love these two little girls had for their fathers. And it was just that thing going, okay. Now, again, if I had a child and they were four, I would be like, oh, you know, here's what we've gone through and this is what's hard. I mean, I get it. Not easy. I get it. But if we can live a little bit more on the side of having that perspective, like not have to strive for a whole lot, not have to gain a whole lot, not have to do a whole lot, not try to impress anything or anyone, just continue to be you in that person's life, in that child's, you know, life. You know, like for me, I just want to I get to be Zen's dude. You know, he's here for X amount of time, and for that X amount of time, I'm that guy that gets to take him places, sleep with him, hug him, feed him, walk him, you know, help him heal, you know, all those different things. You know, and I can focus on that. Or, like I said, I was a guy, older version of me that had a Rottweiler, you know, went to China for 3 months and had him somewhere, and then, you know, couldn't, you know, keep them, so gave them to a friend in California. I was in California, but couldn't take them because the situation where he was in Vegas. So I had another friend take. So the last 2 years of his life, I wasn't even really, you know, living with him. You know, so again, that was just the guy that was going through life, and I had a dog. And sometimes I had to, you know, deal with him, and I had to have other people, you know, kind of slash take care of him, own him. And I'm like, you know, I'm not judging that version of me at all, but I'm like, yeah, that's Zen. One night I spent without Zen, and that was the last time. And now I never, you know, last 2 years, 24/7, I am in eye contact or physically touching that dog 24/7. You know, he comes first. And again, that's like out of a good thing. If I go, okay, what does Zen need? What does Zen want? What do I need to do for Zen today? I'm not focused on my stuff. Because if I'm set, you know, here's a bunch of time, think about your stuff, you know, that's not always the best time. But again, part of my healing is when I got Zen and I recognize that dude does everything that I want to do. Doesn't have a temper. Totally patient. Totally present. Filled with joy. I mean, he's content. That's what I want. He's peaceful. He's Zen. I mean, you know what I mean? The dude lived up to his name exactly. I'm like, oh my God, my dog's my teacher. And that's when the world started changing for me. When I realized, you know, and I'll say it, Zen was put into my life to teach me. And I was aware of that. That was big. Because that's exactly what it was. And I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care if anybody believes that. That's exactly what happened. And still to this day, if I stay focused, I mean, again, just the other night, Zen takes me outside. Hey, you're in a bad mood. We don't typically do this. I sleep through the night, but you know what? I can feel your funk, so come on outside. I'm going to make you laugh. Yeah, my dog did that. And I'm way aware of that. Oh, teared up. Whew, love my dog. Like, ridiculous. So just be aware and appreciative and thankful. Just like to that next level, if you're experiencing unconditional love from anyone at all, it's a dope thing. I mean, I get it from Zen, and it's ridiculous. And, you know, I don't know if I've said this, but every day I tell Zen, I go, thank you for loving me, and thank you for accepting me as is. Like, he just unconditionally loves me as is. No one's ever done that. Not one person. And that's not boohoo. I'm just saying that's how dope my dog is. So, Sir Hardwick, you know, he had shin splints. And that led right into him tearing his meniscus. And Liddy was going to work on a movie. And he was going to get more baby duty. And he hadn't really slept the night before. And then that day I'm training him. And he was just, you know, the weight of the world was kind of on him. So one of the things I said is like, well, when you think about it, I go, listing the things I just listed, you should probably feel how you feel. And again, with lack of sleep, I mean, it's just what that can do to you is just so extreme, and it just exponentially grows. So to be having physical things, and then he's not working out regularly, and he doesn't feel strong because he's not working out. He's got an injury, and he's not working out. He's not doing cardio, and it's just all that mental weight plus all the other stuff that that guy's got. You know, so it's just, and I feel that. So for some reason, I decided to write him a poem. And this is what I wrote. I Don't Suck by Chris Hardwick. If I sucked, I would not have all that I have attained. If I sucked, I could not have all that I've personally gained. If I sucked, how could Lydia love me like she does? If I sucked, how did my parents love me unconditionally just because? If I sucked, how could I be as intelligent as I am? If I sucked, how could I possibly find a word that rhymes with parallelogram? If I sucked, my entire circle of friends would be wrong. If I did suck that bad, it might make for a very sad country song. If I sucked that bad, I could not see how much I love Dimity. Thus, it is clear to see that I, CH, do not suck with complete and absolute unanimity. And he loved that. But it was just kind of funny how I just wrote this really quick thing. It just like came to me like, do this. And I never do that. You know, I'm not sending poems to people, especially Chris. And it was just that take where it was just, you know, I don't suck. And then, you know, written by him. And he was really touched by it. And he was really moved by it. And that, you know, obviously that's, you know, the goal and the intention. So I was just filled, you know, my heart was filled that he had received that. And then I thought, you know, I mean, take out a couple of the specifics and anybody, you know, again, like I was saying, you know, to my client, I'm like, you know, that little girl right there loves you. You're her hero. Why do you need to fix, change anything? Why do you, you know what I mean? What do you need to get in this world? You have that. And it's, you know, again, Mosher and I talk about this a lot, is, you know, it's not being complacent. You know, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not like that. That's not what I'm not saying no to anything ever. I'm totally open. I mean, if some cool opportunity knocked on my door, I'm like, hey, that sounds, you know, again, I would look at it in a many, you know, different ways than I had in the past. But I'm not doing anything. I'm not going to do, you know, that's not the point. That's not my message at all. I think this is the last one. I think this is the last one, people. Yes. So I love it when there's tangible, like physical evidence of growth. Like when I said, you know, I found that, I opened up my bathroom cabinet and I saw the, you know, the old rolled up, squeezed almost to the end tube of a Breva and then the brand new one because I was running out. And I'm like, that's been there for, I went, oh, wow. Been there for the exact number of years I stopped talking to my family. And I look at my fingernails and I'm like, they always looked one way because I always kind of, you know, bit them, chewed them. And it was a, you know, I'm sure a stress kind of a thing. And I look at them now, and I'm like, yeah, they just, there's no little blood marks, no little, you know what I mean, just things that they look like. I'm like, totally, when did that change? Oh, yeah. Stop talking to my family. I'm like, wow. So the dentist, I'm like, oh, I slayed the dragon. I talked about that. And it was, again, don't care what people think, say, believe or not. It was like a huge moment when that, you know, dragon was slayed. Because I didn't really have any other dragons. But that first dentist, when I went in, the first visit, because you got to go twice. You get half your mouth, then you go back in. So cleaning part one, part two. So part one, I go in and they took your blood pressure. And I'm pretty sure I explained this when I talked about going. But they took my blood pressure and he goes, oh, 147 over 97. That's kind of high. I'm going to get the dentist. And I went, oh, what's wrong? And he's like, well, you know, when we give you those, the Novocaine, it's got ephedrine in it. And he goes, you know, that will elevate your heart rate. So if your heart rate's high, we can't do that. And I went, oh. And I went, and I remember kind of hearing that before. And then I went, well, I mean, I understand the number. And I wasn't sure if he knew kind of my history. He's kind of said I've had these really stressful, traumatic moments at the dentist and, you know, this and this and that, and panic attacks, and it went on. And I just had this kind of complete fear coming here. And I said, but actually, I you know, I feel pretty good. I, you know, last time I was here was a regular kind of the cleaning that I get. And I said, I did pretty good. So I was, you know, and I didn't go into all I was working on, but I was like visualizing, I was doing breathing, I was doing all this stuff. He's like, well, let's just check it again. And it was like, you know, a couple minutes since he had checked it the first time. And he's like, oh, it dropped to 127 over 87. And I was like, well, that's cool. So the second visit, this is again, you know, I got the cleaning, you know, went, you know, half of my mouth, and I'm going back to get the second. And I, you know, again, left there going, I slayed the dragon. I was cool. So I didn't do any prep. I didn't do any visualization. I didn't really do any, I didn't do anything at all, because it was just like, I think I was pretty sure it was just a week later. So I go, I get there, sit in the waiting room. They bring me in. He checks my blood pressure, 118 over 80. And it just stuck in my head. I was like, okay, there's personal growth. I mean, like factual data. Like the last time I was here, it was 147 at 97 at this juncture. As soon as you sit in the seat, they put the, you know, the little thing around your neck and the little, you know, bib napkin thingy, and then blood pressure. So here it is, a week later, walked in, sat down, put the little bib on, blood pressure. And the first time, again, it had gone down to 127 over 87. But this time, the very first, you know, the first reading was 118 over 80. And I was just like, again, you know, me highly aware of my relationship with the dentist and what it's been like and what I've gone through and what I've experienced. So, again, that's the stuff I keep talking about. Like, why do I have a podcast? It's like, this is what I'm experiencing. I've spoken for 7 years about my journey, my choices, deeming myself worthy, and being thankful in all circumstances. Some of those things have just really become staples and just pillars in my life, and they're not going to move, and I'm going to continue to do them. So I know, in fact, they're going to grow and they're going to continue to get better. So I'll just continue to keep sharing that. And like I said, there is bad in the world. Just watch the news. And if it's bumming you out, just turn it off. Like, don't watch it for a while. It's not your obligation. You know what I mean? To watch and to worry and to feel all the fear of the world. It doesn't help. You want to impact the world in a positive way? Be the best you. Fact. You want to impact your family, your friends, your significant other, your kids? Be the best you. That's what I believe in my heart. Come to my will. By the water I'm sell. And I, you know, I get like this. I get fired up. I think of things to say because, you know, it's just, that's what I'm trying to do. You know, I'm just going to get off this, and I, you know, I'm going to stop, load it, send it to Nico, and I'm going to grab my dog and love him and go somewhere. And my life's going to continue. It's like, well, yeah, why did you stop and do all this? It's like, well, I just think if I did it. I mean, I had an ability to share a long time ago. I enjoyed it. I've helped people in the past. I like helping people. I'm like, just share this good. Like, dangle that carrot. Because if they've listened to you for the last 7 years, they know what you were like. I mean, I won't listen to any old episodes because I don't want to hear what I was like. I don't want to hear what I thought about, talked about, shared about. I got to deal with the old version of me. And again, I'm thankful because that older version of me became this version of me. So I'm thankful. But I don't like that version, and I didn't like the stuff he did because it wasn't pro you. I mean, I see when I wasn't. You know, I was trying to get a bunch of other people to like me. I was trying to be versions of myself that they would like, and it was very unsuccessful, very unrewarding. So if, you know, one person, all right, besides Nico, is, you know, walking the earth more pro you, I'm good. am thankful in all circumstances. And I think you should be too. Because you are worth it. Stoked you're here. As always, let us begin to control that which we can. Seated, legs crossed if you can, eyes closed, neutral neck, shoulders over the hips, navel tucked into the spine. We'll then begin to draw the inhale through the nose while slowing it down. And we'll allow the exhale out the mouth and slowing it down as well. Anything else enters the space between your ears, kindly, quietly ask it to leave. Return to your breath. Do this to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now.
Thank you.
Bravo. Well done. Congrats. This is that moment when I really feel successful at being pro you. Is when I share right now. Because I just tend to reflect either on the episode or all the episodes or my life. And, you know, having this level of excitement to share, you know, and just really, you know, seeing all my clients be the best version of themselves. And just seeing Nico be this ray of light, this ball of joy. And I'm like, yeah, if I could just help anybody do that, I would do it. And that's why I do what I do. I just believe if I've done it, and the people that I've helped have done it, that anybody can do it. And it's just worth it. Like, it just gets better every day. It gets better every day to be me. In lieu, in spite of what's going on in the world around me. If you could take what I've shared, my journey, what I share, and apply it, make it your own, deem yourself worthy, become the best version of you. And that truly is why I do what I do. Peace and God bless.